Well, good morning to you all. There tends to be a feeling that people that come and stand at the front and teach and share things have got it sussed, or they're experienced and they have some knowledge to share. And whilst there's an element of truth about that, there's an element of untruth about it as well. And this impression that a church will never grow beyond the leader's experience or the teacher's experience actually can be a very limiting factor. And what I want to convey is that I'm standing here this morning with limited experience. So I'm standing here this morning teaching about where I feel God wants us to go rather than where I've been. Now, I don't know whether you can get along with that, but I think it's where God wants to take us. It's what God wants to do with us. So we need not be limited by our previous experience. That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm standing here as someone that's actually very vulnerable and hasn't got it all sussed. And I'm saying, let's grow together. Okay, so that's the basis that I'm standing here this morning. And I feel very much that God really wants to speak to us this morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through what I've prepared. And then we're going to go back into worship. And we're going to spend some time worshipping. And there'll be opportunity to respond to what I believe God wants to communicate and move us on with. And then we'll go for a cup of tea and coffee. Okay, so that's what I feel God wants to do with us this morning. As you know, we've been going through the Gospel of John. And we've been looking at the first three chapters, is it, I think? We've had a couple of weeks already, and we've looked at the beginning bit where the Word became flesh, and how we've been taught that the Son was full of grace and truth, and it is through the Son that we have received grace. And then last week we were looking at the testimony of John the Baptist. And when he was being challenged as to who he was, you know, he's saying, that's not important. You know, what I'm here for is to point people to Jesus. Incidentally, life can get confusing, isn't it? Don't be confused. When we talk about John the Baptist, that's different from John the Apostle, okay? So it was John the Apostle that was the author of this book, but we're talking about John the Baptist. It's a bit like coming to church and saying, that's what Richard said. Because there's one or two Richards around. So this week, we're going to look at a few verses in John chapter 1. So if you look those up. Now, it's a bit shaky. There's no real reason why I've called it Look a Sheep. It just says, Behold the Lamb of God in my Bible. So I just sort of thought, Look a Sheep. Anyway, I'll read this. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So This is the account where John actually baptizes Jesus. And it's one of those, I don't know about you, but it's one of those passages in Scripture that I sort of have to read slowly, because he's saying that, well, this is the guy that I said, I was before him, but this guy was before me, because although I came first, he ranks before me. And it's all a bit confusing, isn't it? And you sort of have to read it slowly. And as I read it and I looked at it, it struck me that it was as if this guy was excited. And it was all bubbling out of him. You ever seen someone really excited and they can't get the words out? And I think there's an element of excitement about it. You say, this is what I was telling you about. Last week we were looking at the passage where he was saying John the Baptist was pointing people to Jesus, and he was telling them about this guy that was going to be coming. He's excited. And he says, this is what I've been telling you about. He's here. And the thought really struck me that, how excited do we get about that? You know, how excited do we get about that Jesus is here? It's a realization of the truth, isn't it? Of what he's been on about and what he's been trying to say. It's a realization of the truth. You can imagine somebody saying, oh, calm down, calm down. What? Say it again slowly. You know. But Jesus is here. And when we look at verse 29, halfway through that, it says, well, he says he saw Jesus coming towards him. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I think that was the first point, really. The Lord Jesus is here. And you almost need to stop and just think about that for a while. Lord Jesus is here. It can be something, you know, to be excited about. It can be something to be relieved about. But the Lord Jesus is here. And I feel particularly this morning that there's one or two of you need to really know that. Lord Jesus is here. So that means whatever the situation, Jesus is here. And we know, because we're used to reading the Bible, that anything can happen when Jesus is here. It's been a particularly tough time for me and my wife just recently. And I drove home on Friday, and there was a storm and there was rain and all the rest of it. And I remember driving up our road, and there were some real thick black clouds. And it's very, I thought, yeah, that feels like the situation I'm in, you know. But then through the clouds, one side, I could see a rainbow. And you know how, you know, a rainbow is God's promise, isn't it? And I found that so comforting. I felt him saying, there might be a storm in focus right now, but the Lord Jesus is here. Take that in, drink it in your spirit. So he said, behold, the Lamb of God. In biblical times then, you know, a lamb was very often seen as a sacrifice. And I think hence the words and the language that he's using here. I read the other day somewhere, it's a bit of trivia for you, that when they used to paint pictures of John the Baptist, apparently there was always a sheep with them somewhere. And that was all to do with this, behold the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb. So there you go. There's a bit of trivia for you. But the sacrifice that was made when Jesus came is what sets us free, isn't it? It's the sacrifice that has paid the price for everything that separates us from God. Again, it's something to drink in. And then the last bit of that verse, it says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of a sudden, that's blown people's understanding in biblical times of what Jesus was here for. It takes away the sin of the world. All of a sudden, God's rescue plan has become massively bigger than people had perceived at that time. So that means that it's so inclusive. It's inclusive of us. it's inclusive of you as an individual. And I think it's always good to remind ourselves of this verse in Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. For some of you, I think just take in those points. And that's what God's message is for you this morning, for some of you in particular. Jesus is here. He's sacrificed himself for you. And his rescue plan includes you. Some of you really need to absorb that and take that in. See, God's heart is he wants to accomplish his plans and purposes through his church. He wants to accomplish his plans and purposes through us as a people. I don't know whether you've ever looked at the road ahead, should we say, metaphorically speaking, and thought, I don't think I can do this. Do you ever feel ill-equipped for what you feel God's saying to do, or the situation that you're in? Put your hand up if you identify with that. If you ever feel ill-equipped for where you are and what you think God wants us to do, wave it about. Show everybody, this is where I am. Okay, keep your hand up there. And wouldn't you like to know the presence of God in all your situations in order that you can face the situation he's put you in, the road that he wants you to go down? Put the other hand up if you want to identify with that. There's a lot of hands there, isn't there? Okay. So that's where we are in a sense, and this is what we want to experience, isn't it? Funnily enough, this is what we're about as a church. This is what we're about as a people. We're learning to walk in step with God's plan. And did you realise what John the Baptist was feeling at this time when he came to baptise Jesus? If you go back just into the couple of verses before that Richard read last week, just before we started, I think verse 26 and 27. It says, John answered them, says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And when you read the same account in the other Gospels, in Matthew 3, verse 14, John says to Jesus as he approaches him, he says, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? So can you see that hesitancy in John? Actually, I'm not the right guy for this, surely. You know, I'm not worthy of carrying out what you want me to do. But clearly it was God's plan, wasn't it? And that's exactly the same for us very often. We don't feel equipped to do what God wants us to do. And sometimes we have to learn to do that. And I think what is a really useful thing to remember is that church is a learning and growing environment. You know, we're not people that have got it all sussed. The church is a learning and growing environment. And that statement applies to the leaders of the church as much as it does to everybody else. You know, this is something we unpack together. I believe God wants to take us into a new place and we unpack these things together. At work sometimes, occasionally, not very often, I run some training courses. And there's usually some quite inexperienced guys there or some apprentices and things. And I'm doing this training course, and it's a very technical thing, and there's lots of dangers about it. If they do things wrong, they could cause a lot of damage, or they could actually injure themselves. quite seriously. And I say to the guys there, you know, after a while, because it's all very, it always feels very formal, a training course, you know, and sitting there and sort of in a classroom environment. And I say, look, if you've got any questions, ask them, you know. And if you've got any basic questions or understanding that you don't understand, ask them. I said, I'm not judging you. I'm saying this is a place to learn. Let's learn here together. I don't want you to go out there and make a mistake because it could be costly. And after a while, one of them will usually pluck up courage to ask some seemingly really basic question. And all of a sudden, the others will begin to contribute. And I turn it into more of a discussion, and sometimes I encourage him to answer his question because his understanding grows as he does that. And I sort of just oversee it and watch it go on. But it changes the environment from a teaching scenario very much to a learning environment. And I think that's what God actually, in a way, wants to communicate to us this morning. You know, we're to learn as a church. You know, we're to grow, we're to disciple each other. It can change a spiritual atmosphere when we sort of look at it in that way. So just moving on to verse 32. This is what John saw, because it says, and John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. So this is something that Jesus experienced and John witnessed. John saw this. So the Spirit remained on him, it says there. It descended like a dove. The dove is often a symbol of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Or a symbol of peace, which the Holy Spirit often brings. And it's helpful to learn about the Holy Spirit, but it's far better to experience it. And those of you that have been on an Alpha course, there's quite a little bit of teaching at one session, isn't there, about the Holy Spirit. And that's really useful, you know. I encourage you to go over that if it's sort of relatively new ground to you. But what I want to encourage us is to learn through experience. It's a far better way of learning. And those words there where it says, and it remained on him, that's quite significant. So if the Spirit remained on him, it didn't fade, it didn't dissipate, it didn't run out, it continually remained on him. Just hold that in your mind, that the Spirit remained on him. It was a constant thing. And then just moving on, just skipping down a little bit further. It says, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In other words, what he saw Jesus receive, he knew Jesus wanted to pass on. He would then baptize with the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit would remain on others also. That's what I get when I look at that. And if you go on through John, and we're not going to look up those verses now, but there's a couple of passages there for your reference where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And he's just telling them, you know, the Spirit will bring you this. So there's a couple of references there for you to look up. But then right at the end of John, in John chapter 20, there's this verse. Hopefully. There it is. It says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Just like these people who went treasure hunting, isn't it? And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, I thought it might just be helpful just to look at this. You've seen this before, some of you. You might remember it. This is just a diagram, really, of taken from Scripture, really, knowing what we know about Jesus. Okay? So we start with the birth of Jesus, and we have the life of Jesus. Then, as we know, we have the crucifixion and the death. He's dead for a period of 3 days, and he's raised to life. He appears to the disciples and others, and then he ascends to heaven. Then ultimately we have the return of Jesus in the future. And what I wanted to illustrate here was, this is the point it works, yeah. At this point here, life of Jesus, this is what we're looking at this morning, where John is baptizing Jesus, okay? But that verse at the end of John, when he breathes life into the disciples, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's at this point here, okay? So that's after the crucifixion and after he's been raised to life again. And he imparts on them the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then he ascends up to heaven. And he leaves the Holy Spirit with them. And what's important about that is that that is the period that we're in now. So what I'm trying to communicate is that what we learn about Jesus in this period here, about his life, with the Spirit remaining on him, because he also has given the Spirit to us here. So what we learn about how Jesus operated in the Spirit is directly applicable to how we should operate in the Spirit. So it's very relevant. So it's helpful to understand that, as to think why, you know. So, the obvious question: why did the Spirit remain on Jesus? Anybody want to chuck up an answer? Could be all sorts of answers. Why did the Spirit remain on Jesus? He was a chosen son. Okay, anything else? Anyone?
It's the Spirit that empowers him to do what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think pretty much the Spirit remained on Jesus so that he could do what his Father wanted him to do. Yeah? And when I think about that, I think about the next question. So, do you think it's God's intention for the Spirit to remain on us, his church, his bride? What do you think? Yeah. I think that's God's plan. And we know the experiences of Jesus. It's all recorded in Scripture, isn't it? And we're familiar with those. And we think, well, what is our experience? What is our experience? Now, by way of illustration, if you can imagine here, there is no experience. There's no expectation. There's no hope. There is no experience, okay? Then if you go over to the other side here, at this point here, this is the kingdom of heaven, okay? And when I say the kingdom of heaven, think of the kingdom of heaven not as a physical place, but as the rule and reign of God's authority. Okay, so that's the kingdom of heaven. So where are we between no expectation, no experience, and the kingdom of heaven? Now, you'll have your own personal view of where you are as an individual, and you'll have your own view of where we are as corporate, as a church. Now, for purpose of illustration, I'm not going to say we're somewhere here. Okay? I'm going to say we're somewhere here. And I say that because I think we have some experience. We have some knowledge. But I think God's got a lot more to show us. Got a lot more for us to experience. And that's an exciting thing, actually. It's an encouraging thing. But I think it really is God's word for us this morning. He's got so much more for us to experience. So then it leads me on to that question. What hinders the flow of the Spirit? Now Jesus, we know, was fully man. And yet he operated in the power of the Spirit, didn't he? So what's the difference between Jesus and our limited experience? And I've thought quite a lot about this. And I know, you know, what holds us back. And sometimes I think there's all sorts of emotions, you know, like what were you saying, like sitting in the dentist's waiting room. It's pretty scary, isn't it? It can be. All sorts of emotions like that. And they can have an effect. But, you know, if Jesus was fully human, I think he experienced the same emotions. We know that he experienced fear and sorrow, as well as joy and excitement and anger. Those are all sort of emotions that he experienced as well. I'm thinking, so what is the difference? Why do I not experience the full flow of the Spirit that I see Jesus? And I think it's quite a lot deeper than that, you see. You have to look at our heart condition. Now, I'm very hard of heart. I'm very cynical. I'm very stubborn, disobedient. I'm judgmental, and I'm not very friendly. That's me. I don't think Jesus experiences that heart condition. He was perfect, wasn't he? And I think there's a significant difference there. Now, you might identify with some of those things, you may not, but for you, there'll be other things. There'll be individual things. And I can see that these things can actually hinder, my heart condition can actually hinder the flow of God's Spirit through me. And I think God wants to challenge us, and he wants to lead us through that. And this is what I was saying, we need to grow together. I want to encourage people. There's a book that's come out, I think, just at the end of last year, which I've come across. It's called Sustainable Power. And it's written by Simon Holly. I've never heard of the guy before, but he leads the King's Arms Church, I think, in... Is it Bedford or Bristol? Bedford. Okay. And this is a very honest account of his experience and the church's experience. And you can see that they've progressed from this position here to somewhere down this road here. And you can see some significant work going on. It's a very honest book. It's a very easy book to read. And I encourage you to get that. It's called Sustainable Power by Simon Holly. And it looks about some of these heart conditions. They're different for different people. And it looks about how they've... in a sense had to hand those over and expose them to God to allow him to purify them. So I would encourage you to get that. Some of you may remember this. Anybody remember that? It was ages ago now. I was telling you about my toilet at home. I'd fitted a new toilet in the bathroom. And it didn't work correctly when I first fitted it. You see, toilets work like this. Very basic and simple. There's two valves in a toilet. Pretty much so, anyway. That valve there is the inlet valve. Okay? That's automatic. You don't have to worry about that. It's automatic. And that lets the water in and fills the tank up. Okay? Now, when you go to flush the loo, you operate the handle here, and that operates this valve here. So it lets the water go down the pan, right? Straightforward, really, isn't it? Simple. Now, if, as was the case with my loo, this valve isn't working properly, then the water's not going to flow through there properly, is it? So if the water doesn't flow through there properly, this actually doesn't get topped up either. So if there's something hindering this operation of this valve, we're not getting the full benefit of the tank, are we? You see the point, can't you? You know, if there's things hindering the flow of God's Spirit, then we're not going to enjoy the full benefit of it. You know, I've heard people say, I leak the Spirit, so I need to be topped up. Now, I don't really know what they're trying to communicate by that, but it annoys me. I have to say it annoys me, because when you leak, it's not going where it's supposed to go. We used a water stop tap to our house, and there was a leak on it. It's been there for years, and it was on my side of the stop tap. I thought, oh, I don't want to get that fixed. That's going to cost me. If it's their side of the stop tap, they have to sort it out, you see. So I used to leave it. It used to do the flowers good, you know. I wasn't too fussed about it. But the point was, the water was leaking out the stop tap instead of coming down the pipe and going to the washing machine and to the bath and the loo and all the rest of it where it was supposed to go. And I think God really wants to channel his Holy Spirit to where he wants it to go. You know, sometimes I think when we say we leak, I think actually it's a disguised way of saying we stagnate. You know, we're not actually allowing God's Spirit to flow where he wants it to flow. And so we realise we're a bit stagnant, so yeah, we want to be touched by God again. And there's nothing wrong with that, I'm not knocking that, you know. But can you see the point? You know, we need to operate in the flow of the Spirit. I was walking to Tesco's the other day with Nettie. We walked across Rugeley, and as we walked up towards Tesco's, this Mercedes came along and parked there. Now, I've always fancied a Merc, and it wasn't the flashiest of Mercs, but it's a very practical Merc, a big estate jobby, you know. And I've always fancied one of those. I've thought, you know, I wonder if I could get one of those at some point. And as I saw it, in my mind I said, oh, I won't be able to afford one of those now. And I felt quite low about it. And then I felt God say to me, what does that say about your attitude, Bob? What does that say about your attitude? I thought, quite a lot, actually. Quite a lot. Quite a lot of unhealthy things, isn't it? And I've had to, you know, say to God, you know, just purify me in that area. And I could see how that could hinder what God wants to do through me. Some time ago, whenever it was, Richard was talking. And do you remember he gave that illustration about a caterpillar sitting on a leaf, munch, munch, munching away on this leaf? And he talked about the transformation that a caterpillar goes through, becomes a butterfly. If I were a butterfly, was it? This morning he's singing, wasn't he? Have you heard about the two caterpillars sitting on a leaf together? And a butterfly goes by. And the one caterpillar says to the other caterpillar, he says, you never get me up in one of them things. I want to say, please, 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 don't be that caterpillar. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be resist what God wants to do in your life so much that you don't fly. Yes, we have limited experience, but I sense that it's something that we can grow together. I don't know whether you'd remember these. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
So when Richard Pearsall was speaking, when we watched Louise be baptised, can you remember what it was about? It was an illustration from the film, Les Mis. And it was a case where this guy had been released from prison or slavery, whatever you want to call it. And he'd gone into this church, and the church guy had like taken him in and looked after him. But then he got up and he took a load of stuff out of the church and legged it. And the police caught up with him and brought him back and threw him on the floor. And they said, look, this is what he's done. You know, is this true that all this stuff he's had is yours, you know? And the church guy, the vicar or whatever he was, says, well, yeah, that's right. He can have all that. And in fact, I want to give him these as well. He's left these behind. And Richard was using it as an illustration of God's grace, wasn't he? God's riches at Christ's expense. And you know, that's what God is saying to us this morning. I've paid the price. I've already been that sacrifice. But I want to give you something more. I want to go over and above your experience, and I want to give you something more. So what I propose that we do is that we actually come back into worship now and ask John to come back up with the worship team. And we're going to start to worship. And I want to encourage you to open your heart up to God, because I believe he wants to give us something more. We want to move from this area down here to this area up here, don't we? But a lot of hands went up this morning, you know, when we said this is where we are, but this is what we want to experience. And we're going to start to worship, and then we're going to have opportunity to respond. And there's going to be a number of areas that I feel God wants us to respond into. If you want to know the presence of God, I'm going to encourage you just to step out into the aisles or come forward to the front. And we're just going to pray that God's Spirit will be breathed into you. And if... just recognise the fact that God might want to use you as well. So as we're worshipping, you might sense actually God speaking to you or telling you something that would be benefit to others. And if that's the case, would you just come forward? And I'm going to ask if you come and speak to Mick. And Mick's just going to take that on board. And then we'll deal with that and respond with that how we feel God wants us to. Okay? So we're going to, I suggest we all stand now. We begin to worship. I encourage you to open your heart to God. Open your heart to his Spirit. Whatever the circumstances, he wants to breathe his Spirit into you. He wants to highlight the need for you to recognize your heart condition. It will take time. But I think if you can step forward and say, hey, I just want you to deal with my heart condition, then over time, I think he will reveal to you at a pace that you can deal with what he wants to purify in your life. So let's start to worship.